Translation and Prabhupada Bhashyar Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering even to the jugglers. That potential power is unknown even to the self-sufficient Lord, so it is certainly unknown to others. Please repeat after me. The wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering even to the jugglers. That potential power is unknown even to the self-sufficient Lord. So it is certainly unknown to others. The froggish philosophers and mundane wranglers in science and mathematical calculation may not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are sometimes puzzled by the wonderful jugglery of man and nature. Such jugglers and magicians of the mundane world are actually puzzled by the jugglery of the Lord in his transcendental activities, but they try to adjust their bewilderment by saying that it is all mythology. There is, however, nothing impossible or mythological in the spiritual, in the supreme, omnipotent person. The most wonderful puzzle for the mundane wranglers is that while they remain calculating the length and breadth of the unlimited potency of the supreme, his faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of the material engagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Supreme in the practical field. The devotees of the Lord see the wonderful dexterity in everything with which they come in contact in all circumstances of eating, sleeping, working, etc. A small banyan tree fruit contains thousands of small seeds, and each seed holds the potency of another tree, which again holds the potency of many, many millions of such fruits as causes and effects. So the trees and the seeds engage the devotees in meditation about the activities of the Lord, while the mundane wranglers waste time in dry speculation and mental concoction, which are fruitless in both this life and the next. In spite of their pride in speculation, they can never appreciate the simple potential activities of the banyan tree. Such speculators are poor souls destined to remain in matter perpetually. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tamsajivam Sadhavaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivrakastya. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jug Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So my humble obeisances to all present here and also those online. I pray that you will bless me, that I can say something useful on the verse today. Actually, today the class was supposed to be given by His Grace Antaranga Prabhu. So for some reason he couldn't give the class. So I'm a poor substitute. So those of you here and those who are online expecting to see the effulgent form of Antaranga Prabhu here giving a wonderful, deep philosophical class. My apologies in advance. I'm sorry to disappoint you all. Hare Krishna. So we'll just repeat the verse. The wonderful potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is bewildering even to the jugglers. That potential power is unknown even to the self-sufficient Lord. So it is certainly unknown to others. So let's look at the context first. So at the end of the fifth chapter, this is, by the way, the continuation of the discussion between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi. And at the end of the fifth chapter, Vidura is asking Maitreya to speak about the Purusha Avatars. So this sixth chapter is starting with Maitreya Muni describing the process of creation, and he explains the development of the gigantic Purusha Avatar, the universal form, Virata Rupa. And then he then begins to describe how different demigods appear, manifested from the universal form, how the planetary system is all happening from there, and the living entities also appear, as well as the Varnas are described. So this verse and the next verse, these are the last two verses of this chapter, and in this concluding sector, Maitreya Rishi is, which is very common with so many learned people actually, he is expressing his humility, saying that he doesn't feel qualified to speak on these wonderful glories of the Lord. So in the previous verse, 38, it says that Lord Brahma, even after meditating for 1,000 celestial years, he could only fathom that the Lord's potencies are, you know, inconceivable. So now in this verse today, he's saying that this wonderful potencies, they bewilder even the great jugglers. Mayinam api mohini. So it bewilders mayinam, the jugglers, the people who are trying to use the mental concoction to figure things out. Even they are bewildered. And then it says, interestingly, that even the Lord himself does not know about it. So what to speak of others? So this concept of Krishna not knowing his potency, sometimes it's a little bit bewildering, isn't it? It's intriguing. The Lord is supposed to be all-knowing. He is omnipotent, omniscient. And yet here he says that he himself doesn't know his potencies. So this can be explained like one time it is explained that in the early days, somebody is asking questions to Srila Prabhupada. And he says, he tried to ask a challenging question. I think it comes from the biblical side. I've read this somewhere before. But he says, can Krishna create a rock which is so heavy that he can't lift it himself? So now, it's a dilemma. If Prabhupada says, no, he can't, then he's not all-powerful. But if he says, yes, he can, but he can't lift it, then he's not powerful enough to lift it. So either way, he's a you know, no-win situation. So Prabhupada, anybody know what Prabhupada says? You will obviously know. Anybody know who Prabhupada says? What Prabhupada says? Yeah? Exactly. Prabhupada says, yes, he can create a rock which is heavier than what he can lift, but then immediately he will lift it. Why? Because Krishna's potencies are ever increasing. So right now, he can't lift this rock, but the next minute he can, because his potencies, unlike ours, are always increasing. So this is how we can understand this. We can try to understand this concept of how the Lord doesn't know his own potencies, because he's going to be even more potent the next moment. That's why he doesn't sort of understand it. So we'll just go through the purport and see what we can pick from there. So Prabhupada starts this purport saying, the frogish philosophers and mundane wranglers in science and mathematical calculation may not believe in the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they are sometimes puzzled by the wonderful jugglery of man and nature. So frogish philosophers. So Prabhupada uses this phrase quite often. Recently, of course, in the last few verses, quite often it's mentioned, but the Dr. Frog philosophy, he calls it sometimes. And this is the philosophy that a frog living in a 3-foot well, if he's trying to understand the Atlantic Ocean, is going to be impossible for, because his perception is only what's around him. So similarly, these mundane scholars who have not accepted the amazing potency of the Lord, and they don't have the faith in the potency of the Lord, they will always try and calculate speculate about the Lord by their own limited senses. And this is why it's called Dr. Frog or Frogish Philosophers. Prabhupada says in one place, Frogish philosophers, scientists, they're all Dr. Frogs. They are simply calculating 3 feet of water. That's all. As soon as you speak to them about the Atlantic Ocean, they say, oh, it's impossible. So this philosophy, the frog philosophy, is actually, there's a Sanskrit term for it. Anybody know that term? Kupa Mandukya Maya. Nyaya. Kupa Maya. So Kupa means a well. Manduka is a frog. Nyaya. So that philosophy is like that. So it's not something that Prabhupada made up. It's in the Shastras. And then mundane wranglers. Mundane, of course, we know. Wranglers. So when I first heard this term in Prabhupada lectures, wranglers. So what comes to mind when you think about the word wranglers? Anybody? Jeans, exactly. So I was thinking, yeah, wranglers. What does it have to do with wranglers and mundane wranglers? But then I was looking at the meaning of. So wrangler, actually, there's one meaning is in the USA, persons who are engaged in looking after horses and animals in the sort of ranch, these persons are called wranglers. So then maybe this is why this, because the wranglers is a USA brand. Maybe this is where the term came from, because they want to wear rugged things because they're working on the farm all the time. So maybe that's where the Wranglers brand name came from. But the other meaning of Wranglers is that that persons who engage in lengthy, complicated arguments. So this is more what Prabhupada's meaning here. Wranglers are somebody who will just hold on to the point and keep arguing on and on and on again. So, So the mundane wrangler, they try and make the Lord's activity mundane. So if we try to study Krishna's potency with our blunt material senses, we will never be able to understand it. There's a verse from the Padma Purana, which is quoted by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which explains this. And anybody know? Nabhavet grahme indriye sevon mukhe jivado someva sfurat yada. It says that our material senses cannot appreciate Krishna's holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes. But when a conditioned soul is awakened to Krishna consciousness and renders service by using his tongue to chant the Lord's name and taste his prasadam, the Lord, prasadam is of course food offered to the Lord. His tongue is purified, and one gradually comes to understand who Krishna really is. So moving on in the purport, Prabhupada says, such jugglers and magicians of the mundane world are actually puzzled by the jugglery of the Lord in his transcendental activities, but they try to adjust their bewilderment by saying that it is all mythology. So yes, all these wonderful pastimes of the Lord, lifting the Govardhan hill, swallowing the forest forest fire, killing the powerful demons at such a sort of tender age. These all, when we speak to non-believers, to them it's all mythology. Even in some things you read even from India, when they write about these things, they will talk about mythological figures and they use the word mythology quite a lot. But of course, it's not mythology. Even not about the Lord, but even the Lord's devotees. So, for example, we can think about the pastime of Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni was such a powerful sage that he had developed enough power, enough sort of secret, enough mystic power to actually travel through the universe. So when he was chased in that incident by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord, he traveled, he ran, and he went to Shivalok, he went to Brahmalok, he also went to see Vishnu, and all that in a few moments. But all this is mythology to people who will try to understand it with their mundane minds. It's like, for them, it's like, for example, an ant speaking to another ant, and he says that, do you know there are human beings around? And these human beings are 6 foot tall, around 6 foot tall, and they live for 100 years. So the other ant is going to say, come on, this is all mythology, it's rubbish. So we can see many, many examples like that. They will not understand these things with their mind. Prabhupada then says, there is, however, nothing impossible or mythological in the supreme, omnipotent person. So this wonderful story that comes to mind is Narad Muni and the cobbler. All of you obviously heard this story many, many times, but there are some new people here. So maybe I'll recite it. And it's always purifying to even hear these stories again and again. So one time, Narad Muni is a pure devotee of the Lord, who is also known as a spiritual spaceman. He has the ability to travel all over space just with his mind, and he can physically go to different places. So one time Narad Muni was traveling around and he meets a brahmana. So this brahmana is a very pious brahmana. He does all his rituals, wakes up early in the morning, takes a bath, does all his seva and everything, and then, you know, takes a bath 3 times a day, all the regular regulations he follows. So he says to Narad Muni, next time you go and see the Lord, because Narad Muni could go and see the Lord at will, please ask him, when will I go back to the spiritual world? He says, fine, I'll ask him. Then along the way, he meets the cobbler. So cobbler is a shoemaker, and in terms of hierarchy, the cobbler is supposed to be a lower grade person, not so educated, not so fluent in Shastra, not even, you know, exposed to Shastra perhaps. And he also asks a similar question, Narad Muni. Narad Muni, when you go next to Lord Vishnu, please ask him, when will I come back to him? He says, fine, I will. So when he goes to see the Lord, he puts a proposition. He said, this is a brahmana and there is this cobbler. And they're both asking, when will I come back? When will they come back? So the Lord says, go to the brahmana and tell him that he's going to be there for many, many more lifetimes. And go to the cobbler and tell him that he'll come back at the end of this very life. So Narad Muni is puzzled. He says, I don't understand, my Lord. How is it? So it's okay. To get your answer, what you do is when you go there, they will ask you. I'll prompt them to ask you what I was doing. And when they ask you, tell them that the Lord was Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Gokula, Shishi Siddharam Lakshma Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai, Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the Lord says, ask them what I was doing. And when they will ask you what I was doing. And when they asked you, tell them that the Lord, when I saw him, he was passing elephants from the eye of a needle. So he was a bit perplexed, but he was fine. The Lord's asking him. So he went there to the Brahmana. The Brahmana says, did you ask the Lord? Yes, I did. He says, what did he say? He said, what was he doing? He was passing elephants through. No, yes, what did he say? He says, oh, you will go back out of many, many lifetimes. Why? I've done all this. I've spent my whole my life being a good Brahmana. Why do I have to wait so long? But anyway, what was he doing when you saw him? He was passing elephants through the eye of a needle. What? I don't even believe that you've been to the Lord. How can anyone pass an elephant through the eye of a needle? And he just dismissed Narada Muni like that. Narada Muni went to the cobbler, and similar discussion happened. So when he was asked what was the Lord was passing elephants through the eye of a needle. And the cobbler, oh my God, that's so wonderful. My Lord is so amazing. He said, Narada Muni looked at him, do you really believe that the Lord was passing elephants through the eye of a needle? He said, why not? He can do everything. The example is even in this purport. He says, he can throw him a little seed of a banyan. He can actually create a whole tree. See, if he can put a little tree, a whole banyan tree in the seed of a banyan fruit, why can't he pass an elephant through a needle of an eye? So then Pranad could understand that this is why he had so much faith. He'll go back straight away. But the Brahmana, despite doing all the rituals, had no faith. And that's why he had still time to spend here. So, yeah, so many amazing things that we can also witness in this world. You know, I'm a new grandfather. My grandson is 8 months old. And I think about the Lord's potencies and how this amazing person comes out, and he's got all these things, and he's got his senses. Now he's 8 months old, he's doing things. And that itself is a miracle, more than a miracle, right? How this all happens. And yet people say, oh, it's mythology and there's no God and there's, how can this happen? And there's so many things like that, you know, simple things like even eating food. How is everything sorted out in our stomach? We are not doing anything physically. Everything is sorted out, right? So many amazing things that we have to appreciate and understand the omnipotence of the Lord. The Lord himself may not be doing everything, but everything's happening through his energies, right? Prabhupada then says, the most wonderful puzzle for the mundane wranglers is that which they remain is that while they remain calculating the length and breadth of the unlimited potency of the Supreme Person, his faithful devotees are set free from the bondage of material engagement simply by appreciating the wonderful jugglery of the Supreme in the practical field. So simply by having the faith, the devotees, by having the faith in what the Lord is doing and appreciating everything, they are at once released from this bondage of this material world. While the wranglers, the mundane wranglers, are sitting here still, you know, arguing and wasting time. So, just a moment, I lost my space here. So it shows you that by having faith, we are able to transcend this material world. But by having doubts, we will be remaining here all the time. So there is a verse in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad which talks about this faith. Anybody know that verse? Yeah, very nice. Pachitatattva Prabhupada is a pandit. Yasya deva para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. Tasyaite katitam tasyaite katita hyartham prakashante mahatmanaha. So only to those souls, only to those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and his devotees, and the spiritual master, rather, are all the imports of the Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So, when we have faith, the knowledge, the Vedic knowledge, is automatically revealed. See, mundane knowledge we need to assimilate externally through our brains, but the the spiritual knowledge is within each one of us. We all have it, but it's been covered. And by having this faith and listening to the spiritual masters and devotees, that faith is uncovered. And then we are in full knowledge. And once we are in full knowledge, then we are released from this cycle of birth and death. A verse in chapter 4 talks about this, about going back at the end of this life. Chapter 4. My goodness, there you go. Chanma karma chame divyam evam yaveti tatvata tyaktva deham punarjanma neti mameti surjana. Mother Kalangna used to love this verse. Often she used to come and discuss this verse with us. So one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this body, take his birth again in this material world, but he attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So this is the guarantee Krishna gives. Moving on. The devotees of the Lord see the wonderful dexterity in everything with which they come in contact in all circumstances of eating, sleeping, working, etc. So we, the devotees, acknowledge the hand of the Lord everywhere. So by seeing the beauty of what the Lord is doing around us, we are able to remain Krishna conscious all the time. How to cultivate this kind of ability to sort of see the Lord's hand everywhere? So this is something that I was reading something and I just made an acronym, GPS. GPS stands for Global Positioning System. So GPS will take us from one city to another. But this GPS will take us from the material world to the spiritual world. So the G stands for gratitude. So regularly express gratitude once we notice everything that's happening to us daily. You wake up in the morning, the fact that you're still alive at my age. When you wake up in the morning and know that you're alive and breathing, thank God that you're giving me one more day. But for youngsters, many other things to be grateful for daily. Then P, G is gratitude. P is prayer and meditation. Daily set aside a substantial amount, not just, many, I know a lot of Hindus, they would say, oh yeah, I pray, and they would take a shower 5 minutes in front of, maybe not even 5 minutes, maybe a few seconds in front of the deities, maybe just light like an incense stick, and they will go to work. But no, 1, 2, 3 hours, whatever you can afford. Wake up early if you have to. Spend some time in prayer and meditation. And by prayer and meditation, we will feel coming closer to the Lord, and we are more aware of his presence. And S stands for studying scripture. Regularly study scripture, and scripture provides us the insight and which reminds us of God's hand in our life. And one more letter we can add to the GPS is R, is reflection. Every day, literally every day, at the end of the day, sit down for 2-3 minutes and think about the day. Think about the incidents where you saw the hand of God. Many, many things. I mean, sometimes I'm driving, and whenever I have a near miss, I know that the Lord saved me. I would have had a bad crash, but he saved me just at the last moment. Many things like this, right? You're going to make a decision which you're going to get in trouble, but you're able to get the right sense at the right time by the Lord's mercy. So reflect every day, and if you reflect and spend that time, you will find many things to relate to the Lord's hand. Prabhupada then gives this analogy about the banyan tree. A small banyan tree contains thousands of small seeds, and each seed holds the potency of another tree, which again holds the potency of many millions of such fruits as causes and effects. So all this is the working of the Lord, Lord's multifarious energies. So Lord's working, we may not see the Lord working himself directly, but we have to appreciate the energies that the Lord works with. And another verse from the Svetasvatara Upanishad, and Panchatattva Prabhu is not allowed to answer this time, which talks about the multifarious energies. Anybody? Yeah, very good. Yeah. natasya karyam karanam na vidyatcha vidyate natat samaschabhitakascha drishyate para prajashakti vividaiva shruyate. Swabhaviki jnana jnana balakriyacha. So the Supreme Lord has nothing to do himself, and no one is found to be equal or greater than him, for everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. So, in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, Arjuna tells the Lord to please give me the details of your divine opulences. And there are many, many, so Krishna then after text 20 gives quite a lot of details of here. And he says these are my prominent ones only. They're unlimited, his potencies, but he gave the prominent ones. And anybody can say a few? I think first one starts, of the Adityas, I'm Vishnu. Any more? Of the banyan, of the trees, and the banyan tree. Oh, the fig tree. Is it a fig tree? Okay, sorry, I thought of the trees. I'm a banyan tree. I thought it was banyan. Okay, good. I stand corrected. And of the rivers, I'm Ganga. I'm the Ganges. Of the mountains, huh? Meru, yes. And of the immovable objects, Himalayas. And this one always tricked me when I was doing my Bhakti Shastri. Of the logicians, final conclusion. The final conclusion. Yeah. So, wonderful. That chapter is so nice. So, it's coming to 8:30. So, just talking about these non-believers. This long time ago, I've heard this up from somewhere where actually somebody says to... He's thinking this is all mythology, all these people are wasting their time. So he's asking Prabhupada, he says, Swamiji, what? You're doing all this, all of you are waking up early in the morning, doing everything that you're doing, such look like a lot of hard work. What if the end of life, you come to know that God doesn't exist? There's nothing. You just wasted your time. So Prabhupada says to him, we have taken this path, and by this taking this path, we have dropped all the bad habits. We enjoy wonderful, sumptuous food. We sing and we dance. And we learn about the Lord. We haven't lost anything. So if, as you say, if at the end of life we find out there's nothing there, we haven't lost anything. We've had a good life. But my dear sir, what if you come to the end of life and realize that everything we're saying is true? What's going to happen to you? It's too late. Right? And then that reminds me of this phrase that Keshav Swami often uses. He says, the pain of discipline is uncomfortable, but the pain of regret is unbearable. So, whether we have complete faith in this or not, dear devotees, let's stick to this because nothing to lose, everything to gain. Hare Krishna. So thank you so much for listening. My apologies if it wasn't as good as Antaranga Prabhu would have made it. But any comments, any corrections, any thoughts? Prayojan Prabhu, just wait for the microphone, please. Thank you, Prabhupada.
It reminds me of a verse, actually, not by, well, you could say not a devotee, but it's a quote from Shakespeare. It says, our doubts, they are traitors. They cause us to lose that good we may achieve by trying.
Wow. Very nice. Thank you so much for sharing that. Wonderful. Some of these thoughts, actually, when you look at different religions, different faiths, a lot of these thoughts are very similar. And then this makes you think that actually, as the Bhagavatam says, at one point everything was one. There was one religion, there was one book. And then everything, as time went, got split up. And then different directions were taken from there. But actually everything comes to the one absolute truth. And that is something that we can believe from these things, you know. Anything else? Anybody else? Yes, Devi Prabhu, that microphone.
Just to mention, in the original Bhagavad Gita, as it is, it said the fig tree, but in the later edition, it seems to say the banyan tree.
Fig, I see, okay. So what I was reading was banyan tree, but like you say, it was too early version was a fig tree. And yes, the figs have a lot of seeds as well, exactly. So both would work, both the analogies would work. Thank you for clarifying that. Any other thoughts, anybody? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All the new bhaktas on the Be a Monk course ki jai. Hare Krishna.